Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You would think that when Sunday is on Christmas Eve, that it would be the easiest thing in the world to find a sermon, right? We're going to talk about the Christmas story. And it probably should have been, but it wasn't for me. As a matter of fact, about 1:30 this morning, while hopefully all of you were sleeping, I was awake changing my sermon this morning. So you bear with me, because I'm not sure how this is going to all come out. There's some controversy and a good bit of misunderstanding about Christmas. This Christmas season, honestly, has been a little bit different for me. I remember in the past few years, you know, when I was a kid, when all of us were kids, we didn't think about all of the rush of Christmas. You know, for when you're a kid, it's just, you know, Christmas presents and playing and getting out of school. As we get a little bit older, and for the last several years, I think I've made some comments even about all of the activities, a lot of good activities even that we have. But everybody just gets so busy at Christmas time that sometimes we just kind of forget that it's Christmas. And I got to tell you, that happened to me this year. We have a lot of activities here at the church and a lot of special things that we do each Sunday. And it takes time, at least for me, to get ready for all that. And I was so busy this year, and even getting Christmas messages, I kind of forgot that it was Christmas. I went over to my older daughter's house Friday. She had ordered a Christmas present for Shara. I won't tell you what it is, because she's here. And I went to pick it up, and Levi, he was so excited. He came to the door, and he was like a ping pong ball, you know, bouncing off the walls. They have this little calendar that tells how many days till Christmas. Papa, it's 3 days till Christmas. And boy, he was excited and wanted me to see the calendar, and oh, he just couldn't stand himself. And, you know, when I left there, I was kind of excited. It was Christmas. If you ask a little kid, a child, what Christmas is all about, they will probably tell you that it's about Santa Claus and getting toys, getting gifts. You know, they write letters to Santa, or they go to see Santa so they can sit on his lap and so they can tell Santa, give Santa their Christmas list. And then tonight, sometime all across this country and all over the world, and some of them are already doing it, little kids will go to bed and they'll be so excited and anticipating the arrival of Santa Claus after they go to sleep and their toys. He's going to come down the chimney and bring them, give them their toys. You know what? Christmas is not about Santa Claus. It has nothing to do with Santa Claus. Some people will tell you that Christmas is just kind of a magical time of the year. You know, it's when things happen that are just unexplained. Good things happen that you just can't explain them. It's just the Christmas season. They call them Christmas miracles. And there's no explanation for it. They just happen. They don't know why. They don't know how. Maybe there's some sort of magic in the air, or maybe there's magic that Santa Claus brings. But Christmas is, that's not really Christmas. Some will tell you that Christmas is about activities, school plays and Christmas programs and parties at work and having family over and having friends over and exchanging gifts and all those sorts of things. And that's all nice and good, but that's not Christmas either. In North Korea this year, the leader of North Korea is trying to stop Christmas. And so I thought this was interesting. One of the things that he did was to ban all alcoholic drinking. He thinks if he can stop people from getting drunk or a little tipsy, he'll stop Christmas. Now, when I read that, I kind of scoffed at that, and I thought, boy, he has no clue. And then I read in the local paper, front page article about one of our liquor stores here in town. And they have stocked on their shelves for you today Christmas spirit. And if your favorite Christmas spirit is not on the shelf, you just let them know. They'll order it and have it for you. Christmas is not found in a bottle either. all kinds of TV movies about Christmas. Now, I'm going to confess to you, this is one of my guilty pleasures. I guess I love Christmas movies. And Shara will tell you. Matter of fact, I like them more than Shara does, and she's a Christmas woman. But you know, those Christmas movies, their idea of Christmas is it's all about romance, and it's all about finding that right person, another one of those magical things that happens. You know, misunderstandings get cleared up, and people find each other. Oh, it's just so wonderful, and they live happily ever after. That's not really Christmas. So what is Christmas? What is the true meaning of Christmas? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The true meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. And so today I want to turn our eyes to Jesus and focus on Him. He is the gift of Christmas. Listen again to the words of the angel. Luke 2:11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Maybe it's just for me this year, but in all of the busyness, in all of the confusion, in all of the, you know, we say hustle and bustle of Christmas, and all that we do today and all that we do tomorrow, and it's going to be fun, let's not forget that Christmas is about the birth of the Savior of all mankind and our personal Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible is very careful when it comes to the birth of Jesus. The Bible is careful to tell us that Jesus was born of a virgin and that God is the Father of Jesus. Luke 1:35 says, And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Matthew 1:23, the Bible says, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus was and is the only Son of God. Joseph was not his father biologically. He was his earthly father who helped raise him, but he was not his father. Mary was his mother. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. Mary was not divine, but Jesus is divine. He is the only Son of the living God. He lived on earth for 33 years. He never held a political office, never ran for political office. He never achieved much success as far as the world is concerned. He never owned a home. Never had any measure of wealth, as near as we can tell. He had the clothes on his back, didn't even have food for his next meal most of the time. He relied on the kindness of those who were his followers and on his own work in some cases to provide food for him and his disciples. He never traveled very far from his place of birth, probably never more than 90 miles. If you drew a circumference around Bethlehem, he never reached more than 90 miles outside of that city of Bethlehem. And yet he has affected the life of every single living human being the earth has ever known before and after his birth. The eternal destiny of every person rests in what they believe and how they respond to Jesus Christ. That's Christmas. I want to mention just a few of the things that Jesus said and did. These are very few things. It may seem like I go on and on forever, but this is just a little bitty microscopic portion of the things that Jesus said and did. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's us. We're lost. We were lost before we got saved. We are lost until we get saved. And Jesus came to seek us, to find us, to save us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I always get, I don't know if the word is frustrated. I'm not sure what the word is, but I always get a little frustrated when we as Christians, and I include myself in that, when we make the Christian life seem like a life of sacrifice. You know, we can't do this and we can't do that and we can't go there and we can't go here and we can't do all these things and we have to go to church and we have to pay our tithes and we have to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. The Christian life is the greatest life the world has ever known. Jesus said, "I came to give you more abundant life." It's better with Jesus than it is without him. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." In 8:12, he said, John 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know that in the scripture, darkness is often associated with sin or sin with darkness. So Jesus said, "I am the light and I dispel the darkness, and those who follow me walk in the light of righteousness and holiness, not in the darkness of sin." In our house, our hallway is very dark, and every Sunday morning, it's not like this during the week, but every Sunday morning when I get up, it's dark in there, and I don't turn the lights on because I don't want to wake Shara up. I get up before she gets up. I open the closet door in the hallway to get a towel, and I can never see. My eyes are wide open, and all I can see is darkness. You realize that those who live in sin, all they can see is darkness. You wonder why they're confused? You wonder why they're unhappy, unfulfilled? You wonder why they're seeking purpose in life and what they need? Because they can't see. Because they're in darkness. And Jesus said, "I'm the light. Listen, come and follow me. And you'll see. You'll walk in the light." In John 10:7-9, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." In John 10:11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." While he was on this earth, living in a human body and a human form, Jesus performed a lot of miracles. His first miracle was at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. There was a nobleman's son who was sick and at the point of death. And Jesus just spoke the words, and that son was healed. There was a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. He'd been paralyzed 38 years. And Jesus came and healed him, and he was paralyzed no longer. There was a time when there were 5,000 men plus women and children, and they were all listening to Jesus preach, and the day began to get long, and they didn't have any food. So Jesus fed those 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes, and the Bible says that there was food left over. You know what? If we had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish with us right here this morning, not everybody would be fed, and there certainly wouldn't be anything left over. There was another time when there were 4,000 men, plus women and children. They were hungry. Jesus fed them with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fishes. And guess what? There was food left over again. You see, God has an abundance for you. Whatever your need is, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever your need is, God will meet it with much left over for everybody else. He cast out demons. He healed the lepers. He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. In the city of Nain, Jesus met a funeral procession. As he was coming into the city, there was a funeral procession coming out of the city. There was a little widow woman, and her only son had passed away. Jesus stopped the procession. He had them bring the bier where they carried the dead body down off of their shoulders, place it down on the ground, and he brought that son back to life.
Amen.
There was a man by the name of Jairus, and his daughter got sick. And she died. And Jesus went to their house and he made all those who were mourning, the professional mourners that they had, he made them all go outside and he brought her back to life. He said, give her something to eat. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. He was buried and in the grave for 4 days. The Jews did not embalm their dead, so his body was already decomposing. Jesus stood in front of the tomb. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And a 4 days dead man got up and walked out of the tomb. That's the man that came on Christmas. And somehow Jesus looked out through the portals of time. And he saw everybody, and that means that he saw each one of us. He saw me. And he knew that each one of us, myself included, he knew that we would all sin because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he knew that our sin would condemn us to eternal death and hell. He knew that our sin would separate us from fellowship with God. And so he chose freely, willingly, to die in our place. He offered his body, his physical, earthly body, his literal blood as a sacrifice to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. He died on the cross of Calvary. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, they went to check on him and he had arisen from the dead.
Amen.
He did all of that for all of mankind and for you and me personally. He is the gift of Christmas. His birth, his love for you, his sacrifice for you, that's the true meaning of Christmas. And if we miss that, everything else is temporary and fading and will ultimately fail. But Jesus never fails. Jesus is not temporary, he's eternal. He existed long before the world was created because he participated in creation. He will exist long after the world is gone because he will take his children to live eternally with him in heaven. That brings me to the reason for Christmas. Now, you know, we usually say Jesus is the reason for the season, right? It's got a nice little cadence to it and it rhymes, and so that's what we say. You know, that's not exactly accurate. Jesus is the meaning of Christmas, but he's not the reason for Christmas. There are two reasons for Christmas. First of all, God is the reason for Christmas. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." If it hadn't been for God, there would be no Christmas. He's the reason. He gave his Son because he loves us. Galatians 4 verses 4 and 5 say, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." God gave us the gift of his Son because God loves us and because God wants to adopt us. He wants to bring us into his family. Can I talk about this a little bit? Is that all right? Thursday morning, some of us went over to Newkirk and Justin officially adopted Mason. He's Mason Bickford. He's family. They asked Justin, I guess it was the lawyer, I don't know who she was, I don't know who that woman was, but they asked Justin, they said, Will you be responsible for him? Will you care for him? And Justin said, yes. We were all born on this earth. And God looked down on us and he said, I want to adopt you. I want to be responsible for you. I want to care for you. I want to love you. I want to meet your needs. I want to make you part of my family. I want to live with you eternally in heaven. He wants to give us the adoption of family. And he didn't just give us his son. He gave us forgiveness of sin. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've already talked about this. Jesus paid the price for our sins so that we could be released from the condemnation of death for sin. He paid the price for our sins so that we could have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, so that we could have the opportunity to become children of God, so that we could have the opportunity to go to heaven. God's the reason for Christmas, because he loved us, he gave us. And the second reason for Christmas is sitting in your pew, in your shoes, in your clothes. You are the reason for Christmas. Listen again, one more time, to the words of the angel, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not unto mankind, not unto the world, not unto the Jews, not unto the Gentiles, not unto those who will believe him, but unto you. Personally, Jesus Christ was born. You are the recipient of the gift. Maybe I should rephrase that. You are the intended recipient of the gift, because you have to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. He is offered, but you have to receive him. Many people don't. I've never figured out why. Maybe some think that the gift wasn't really intended for them. Maybe when they read, if they read Luke 2:11, they think the angel was only speaking to the shepherds, and he meant unto the shepherds was born a Savior. That's not true. It's the universal you, unto you. The gift is for you. Jesus is for you. Some maybe think that if they receive the gift, the requirements of receiving the gift are too much. They can't do it. I've had people tell me repeatedly, I can't live the Christian life. And you know what? They're absolutely right. I can't either. But when we receive Jesus Christ, he gives us another gift. He's the Holy Spirit. And he moves in. And he lives in us. And he empowers us. He enables us to live the Christian life, to do the things that God wants us to do.
Amen.
Jesus was given to you personally. And I suppose the only real question about Christmas is whether or not you have received the gift of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? Sure, if you'd just come and just play a song. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. This won't take long. We've got plenty of time. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. I want you to be as quiet as you can at this moment. Don't be distracted. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit who's speaking to you at this moment. The gift is Jesus. A beautiful, wonderful, priceless gift. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I don't mean, are you religious? Do you go to church? Are you a good person? Have you received Jesus? Has there been that moment in your life where some way you've said, Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner and I need you to forgive me. Please forgive me and come into my life. That's how you receive Jesus. That's how your sins are forgiven. That's how you become a Christian. Have you done that? Wouldn't you like to? What better time to receive the gift of Jesus than the celebration of his birth and the offering of the gift? you come while sheriff plays.